Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, y'all, what is up? I am Jeff Nowak alongside Charlie Long. Only got the 1 hour, so we got to make it count. We're going to get into Pelicans talk. We're going to also hear from Joe Bartel, get some fantasy football insight before we hand off to Mike Haas and the Saints Hour. We're going to get Mickey Loomis and voice of the Pelicans, Joel Myers. But before we do that, you got to go over to our talk and text line. We've got Ali Cosell, NBA writer, covering the Pelicans. The NBA tips off tonight, but the Pelicans don't tip off until tomorrow night, and that's what we're all worried about. Ollie, is it kind of like, you know, like Christmas morning? You have like one more sleep, and then the NBA season is here. How excited are you to get this thing going?
It is, and more so, right? If you think about back next year, what a disaster it was. And so everybody since the last game last season has been just talking about next season. So we're finally here. The players feel like this. The announcers, you name it. And so, yeah, it does feel like Christmas because, look, you're starting 0-0, and you can really put this last season to bed immediately with a good start.
Yeah, and you know, it's been interesting looking around and hearing some talking heads talk. Like, the Pelicans have become kind of like the trendy, you know, like the chic pick. And like, oh, well, I'm going to talk about the Pelicans because no one's talking about them. Is that like, do you feel that? Do you think that this team has a chance to really surprise some people? Or should we go in with a little more cautious optimism? Because we have been in that space before where everyone was like, watch out for the Pelicans. And it didn't quite go the right way.
Yeah, I mean, in past seasons, they've been the darlings, right? Because they had some seasons where they had some real success and they had the talent on the roster. Last season, neither happened, right? The talent they did have was mostly injured. And so we never saw the real product. But going into this season, knock on wood, largely everybody's healthy. Zion's in the best shape of his life. And look, when Zion plays, guys, Pelicans last 3 years are 69-60. And if you eliminate last year in games he played under Willie Green, not counting last year, 59-40. So it really does come down to Zion. So if he can stay on the court, this team can contend for the playoffs. We've seen it, right, in a couple seasons, right? Last couple of years, what was it, 2 years ago, 49 wins. So the talent is there. And they've got Trey Murphy. He's going to be looking to maybe make his first All-Star game. I think going to Jordan Poole and that trade for C.J. McCollum, that almost seems like an equal trade on paper. So you're not really losing much, right, with that threat of an outside shot. And then you've got Herb Jones, one of the best defenders. You added depth. That was the biggest thing they did not have last year, right? You added Sadiq Bey. You got two promising rookies. And we saw a lot from Jeremiah Fears, to where it looks like he's going to be able to help, right? He closed out that preseason really well, especially against that game against Houston, putting up 20 points. So anywhere you look, it feels like you should have optimism. So I honestly don't get why the Pelicans have been picked on so much. I feel like it honestly stems back to, Jeff, that trade they made, right? They gave up next year's first-round pick, unprotected, to get Derek Queen in the building. So that's going to obviously have to pan out. But if you look past that, I think there's talent and top-end talent where you can compete in the West.
It's been like basically all or nothing, Ali, in my opinion, as far as the national coverage of this team, where, you know, Jeff is right with some different outlets kind of picking the Pelicans as a chic dark horse to be a solid team this upcoming season. Or, I mean, they just get destroyed in national media circles. I saw ESPN had released like their first kind of power ranking thing. Then they also had, you know, different things under for each team about something to know, or, you know, the playoff chances. And for some of the teams at the bottom of the league, I think they had the Pelicans at 25 or 26, somewhere around there. They put the Pelicans playoff chances at 0.1, which is just like, I mean, you might as well just say zero. It's such a slap in the face, but it's all or nothing with this team. And I think ultimately it's going to be somewhere in the middle where, you know, maybe they're not a top six or top five seed in the Western Conference, which is just loaded once again this year, but they're not going to be picking first in the draft next year either. And that pick that's going to Atlanta is not going to be the 101. It's going to be probably somewhere in the middle. And I think with the talent on this Pelicans roster, to your point, I used the audio bite from Joe Dumars, head of the Pelicans media day from a few weeks ago, where he was talking about his team building philosophy and how, you know, in his first offseason, he wanted to make sure that he got his guys in place and building the depth on this roster to where 10 to 12 guys playing a night. I mean, if you have a guy that gets injured, if you have a guy that's having an off night, when you have 10 to 12 guys that are playing at, you know, their peak maximum effort level, that the wins will follow. And I just loved hearing that from Dumars about that type of team building philosophy, building the depth on this roster, because even if you think it may be overrated come playoff time, in a long 82 game schedule regular season, it's obviously very helpful.
Couldn't agree more, Charlie. Look, 2 years ago when the Pelicans won 49 games, they had a deep bench. You had Larry Nance coming off of it, not G. Marshall, Jose Alvarado, and several other key players like Dyson Daniels. Last year, like I said, you didn't have any of that, right? You traded a lot of that away in the DeJounte Murray deal over a year ago, and then you just didn't bring in enough guys to replace them last year. But this year, I felt like they did. So that is one of the key components, I think, to having a successful team. And you don't have to look any further than the last finals, right? Both Indiana and OKC, swimming in depth, right? They have some stars, but again, they got there because they could sustain some injuries along the way. And when you're able to play 10 to 12 guys who all can contribute, that makes life easier. And like I said, that's the recipe for today's game that's played so quickly, where you're going to be missing two or three guys. So it's of the utmost importance to have that depth. So that's why, like I said, I'm more positive than most. I think even if Zion, say, plays, say, 60 to 65 games, which is going to be a lot, right, for him, I think this team will finish no worse than somewhere in the play-in tournament, like with an even 500 record, right? Somewhere like 40, 42, 41, and 41. And that's enough, like I said, to get you in a play-in tournament. And every other team always sustains injuries. I should say not every other team, but a lot of teams do, right? You've seen it here in New Orleans. But it happens across the league, right, where it kills a team, and then there's always about three or four that don't meet expectations because of it. And you know what? The Pelicans are playing one tomorrow in Memphis who are going to be very shorthanded. I think they're already missing four key guys. John Morant's going to play, but he's a little hobbled, as so is Jaren Jackson. So Pelicans are sitting just on the opposite side of that spectrum, where everybody's been practicing, everybody is healthy. And I'll tell you what, building off of this training camp and just seeing, like I said, the health of the key guys and how they've been getting – basically, they're working together. You feel like the chemistry's already been built up. You feel the talents there. That's why I just think this team has been counted out too much by a lot of people. I think they're going to be right there, even if, like I said, they sustain some normal injuries.
Ollie, you kind of brought up Memphis, and I wanted to get your thoughts on them because they're one of those weird teams in the Western Conference. The, you know, Mike, Jeff, and I were talking in the last hour, kind of previewing the season, and Mike had brought up the Orlando Magic, who made that splash trade to add Desmond Bane. And it's kind of weird with the Grizzlies because they had that trio of Bane and Jaren Jackson and Ja Morant, and they still do have some good young pieces on that roster. But I feel like trading away Bane is more kind of looking towards the future. You add all these first-round picks. You still have some talented young pieces on this roster. But are they really going to be trying to compete this year? Or are they going to be kind of in a middle ground where they might be a team that's in the play-in tournament conversation as well, where the Pelicans are trying to be? Just kind of your scouting report of the Grizzlies ahead of the first game of the season.
Yeah, so I would say, honestly, like, say 12 or 13 teams in the West starting, you know, tonight are going to be trying to win. Right now, of course, you've got different expectations, right? How far you can go, can you make the playoffs, et cetera. But like I said, a lot of these teams are going to be trying to win, of course. I think the Grizzlies are one of them. You've got Ja Morant. You've got Jaren Jackson. When Zach Edey gets healthy, you got some promising young guys for them like Jalen Wells. And you've got several other guys. But like I said, their depths are going to be tested. They're going to be very weak at center, right? Not only don't they have Zach Edey, They're going to be without Brandon Clark, and he's missed some time in the past. So, like I said, it just always boils down to who you got healthy, who you've got available in the West for me. Because those 48 minutes, you've seen it, even these two preseason games, you're going to have those ups and downs. But when you have to rely on people that really aren't meant for rotation minutes, that's where you really suffer. We saw that all last season, right? When Willie had a dip into his bench, that's where the Pelicans suddenly were trailing by 20. So that's why, like I said, it's a big step for the Pelicans that they're going to be able to play basically 10 to 12, especially once Kevon Looney gets back. But Memphis, they can't. And I think that's what's going to probably be the separator for teams out of the gates. If you're not fully healthy, you're going to probably get off to a slow start, because we've seen it here multiple times in New Orleans.
You know, Ollie, we have to talk a little bit about Zion. And I know that the skinny Zion has been kind of the fun offseason story. And, you know, I think it's an interesting dynamic, because on the one hand, yes, like I think it's more about less about the weight than it is about, okay, seems like he's finally figured out the process and taking care of his body and really kind of leaning into that, which is more important than anything else. But, you know, one of the things that I think set him apart was the size and the ability to play at that size and be able to move people in the paint and drive and just be a freight train. And you drop the weight, and I just have to wonder, does his game have to change? Do you have to start shooting more? Do you have to be a more well-rounded offensive player? Because here's the thing, if the injuries are an issue, you're still going to be susceptible to injuries, and if you without the extra weight, you almost wonder if that because like can you keep putting your head down and driving to the rim at the rate he has without being hurt, without players hacking you and that becoming an issue. So I guess from what you've seen in the preseason, it did seem to me like he's being a little bit more aggressive about finding shots as opposed to only going to the rim. What have you seen from him? Do you think that's going to be an expanded part of his game this year? Is just kind of a face-up jumper and more of that?
Yeah, what I've seen is actually I think we're going to see a smarter Zion.
Yeah,
I think in the past several years when he's been out there, guys, you've seen him trying to take on double teams, right? Because he knows he's going to get double, but he's still trying to score through them. And that honestly led to a lot of turnovers. And I think that's what he said he worked on the most this summer with Teresa Witherspoon. Don't get stripped, right? Because that leads to an easy turnover. That's almost always an automatic points for the other team, right? Those live ball turnovers. So you eliminate that. And then now that he's built up his stamina, I think that's where you're going to see the biggest trends with him. Because I looked at his preseason stats, and I know you're supposed to take them with a grain of salt, but I found there is some correlation. So, for instance, this preseason, he led the team in assists, led the team in steals. He's never done any of these things. So I think we're going to see an expanded game, but it's not so much going to come from just the fact of scoring, but it's going to be from his all-around game. And I think, honestly, when he first came in the league, that's why David Griffin used to try and compare him to Draymond Green. He thought he would be able to get a menace on both sides of the ball. And that's honestly who Zion is, but the weight didn't allow him to play to that level. But he had to conserve energy, and he usually did that by taking off on the defensive end. That's not going to happen anymore. We haven't seen that happen, like I just alluded to, right? The amount of steals we've seen this preseason. So he's given it on both ends of the court. He's able to initiate and still get his scores. Now, will his body hold up, Jeff, after, you know, he's still going to get pounded? There's going to be multiple times he drives. There's not going to be those foul calls. Can he withstand that? I don't know. I think that's probably the biggest question on everybody's mind. Is his body going to be able to handle the rigors and not break down? We don't know. But I feel like he's done everything he can to be able to put himself in the best position to succeed. And I think that's all we've ever wanted, because he's rarely ever come into a season looking like this.
Ollie, also kind of looking ahead of the schedule, the Pelicans' home opener is going to be on Friday night against the San Antonio Spurs. And I mean, I feel like the Spurs are kind of the trendy pick to make that leap. Obviously, Victor Wembanyama is such an unbelievable talent. Dylan Harper, the number two overall pick, kind of flashed early on. I'm just looking forward to this matchup because I think it's going to be a great test between two teams that are trying to get into that number as far as the top 10 seeds in the Western Conference.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think Victor Wembanyama is going to be the face of the franchise, and this is not going out on any ledge. I think a lot of people are saying it for the next 10 years, right, considering how young he is, what an impact he's already having on both ends of the court. And you just saw, like I said, if you look at preseason numbers, he's been right up there putting up monster numbers across the board, a lot like Zion. So if he's out there, he's already going to give his team a good chance to win on any given night. And so, yeah, it's going to be a great battle. But the reason why people are, of course, like the Spurs is because they are still kind of on that young upswing. As for a lot of the Pels players, like the core players, they're all in what, the age bracket of 24 to 27, right? So about to hit their prime or are in their prime. And because they haven't had that success, that's why I honestly feel like nobody's talking about them. But they were where the Spurs were, say, a couple of years ago. I remember it clearly.
Yeah, you know, my last question, the two rookies, well, I guess there's more than two rookies, but the two top rookies, you have Jeremiah Fears, Derek Queen. Obviously, Derek just got cleared for activity. What are the roles you expect for them out of the gate? You have to imagine they're not going to throw a ton of minutes at Derek, probably want to get his feet under him, but you know, how do you see Jeremiah, how do you see Derek kind of fitting in with this group? Because it's funny, you have a lot of young players, but you also have a lot of players who've been around the block a few times, right? So it's going to be tough to crack that starting rotation for a while, barring injuries. So how do you see that whole scenario kind of working out for those guys?
Yeah, so we know they're both going to get minutes, right? The front office really made a bet on both of the guys, so they're going to be featured prominently. And then also Willie Green has said multiple times this preseason that what you've seen in these preseason games is largely how he's going to plan on operating during the regular season. So what that means to me is Jeremiah Fears, for instance, in Australia when the team was down there, he was usually the first one off the bench, right? And then he also got a lot of time against both Houston and Orlando. So that screams to me that he's probably going to be either the first or second guy usually off the bench for the Pelicans. So right up front, he's probably going to see probably close to 25 minutes a game. And I think he's proven that he's worth it, right? Because think back to summer league, how honestly his porous his game looked, right? All the fouls, couldn't make a shot, the turnovers. That's where, like I said, he seems really helpful, understands what he's doing out there. So I'm not worried about him and his minutes. But you're right, with Queen, we honestly don't know. We haven't seen him since summer league. He has not been able to go up and down against NBA competition other than in practice over the last, what, 4 or 5 days. So with him, you've got to think they're going to tread much more lightly. But here's the thing, though. Behind Eve Missy, there's really nobody right now. By Carlo Matkovich, he's not going to play tomorrow, even though I know he's listed as doubtful. Chances are he's not, because he hasn't practiced in about 5 days. And then, of course, Kevon Looney, who I think the team was relying on probably to be their starting center, is going to be out for at least 2 to 3 weeks. So I think Queen, just by default, is going to be given minutes as soon as starting tomorrow. Now, how much how well he handles is probably going to totally determine whether he plays, like, say, 8 to 10 minutes, or maybe somewhere closer to 18 minutes for maybe the first week or so.
Yeah, and I mean, so who would be your third guy off the bench if you needed to get behind Queen? Would it be Dickinson, or would you just play small?
Yeah, I think they'd probably go small. Sadiq Bey, having him is going to be huge, guys. I mean, this guy is a beast. If you stand next to him, he's legitimately about 240 pounds, 6'8", 6'9". He looks like he can handle, right, a lot of centers. And again, that's what Larry Nance largely played at that weight, and we saw how well he did. So I think they're going to rely on Sadiq Bey and just playing to their strengths, right, because they are a big team in terms of wings. So you're going to see a lot of Trey out there with Sadiq. Of course, you can mix match other players as well. Hunter Dickinson, I feel like, is going to be you rip off the band-aid when you need some center minutes, whether you're losing or whether you're going against some, you know, opponent that's got a really big center. So I mean, honestly, even though Hunter Dickinson had some good showings, it just didn't feel like that's going to be somebody Willie Green's going to be able to rely on when you're trying to win ball games, at least early.
Gotcha. Well, it all starts tomorrow, Pelicans at Grizzlies, 7 p.m. Ali Kosel, NBA writer covering the Pelicans. Thanks so much, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff, Charlie. I think they're going to get off to a decent start this year, right? If they stay healthy, I think they're going to open up a lot of eyes.
I dig it.
Awesome.
You're right.
Thanks, Ollie.
All right. Again, that was Ollie Kosel. I'm excited about it. I think this Pelicans team has a chance, but I am kind of the eternal optimist. I've felt like that way about the Pelicans the last few years.
I felt that way the entire offseason here. And, you know, how because, yes, it has been like I said in the first question with Ollie, there is the side of national media that thinks, oh, you know, Zion looks healthy. He looks as good as we've seen since, you know, Duke days or whatever, and that the Pelicans could be a dark horse in the Western Conference to be a solid team that makes it at least a play-in, potentially the playoffs. And then the opposite side is, like, they're one of the worst teams in the NBA. There's no middle ground here. It's just strange to me.
I think Zion's defense might be more important this year than his. In terms of the weight, I think his ability to play defense like he did at Duke.
He showed some flashes last year once he was getting healthy of being a strong defender, and that's something that he hasn't been in his NBA career. So I'm right there with you.
I want steals. I want pick sixes. That's what I want. Anyway, scoop and score. All right. Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long, we're going to hit a break here and come back with Joe Bartel, fantasy football expert at RotoWire, gets you ready for week 8. Man, week 8. 1-6. Oof. All right. Again, Jeff Nowak, this is Sports Talk, taking you up till 7 p.m. Keep it locked on WWL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. Mm. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
And we are back here on WWL Sports Talk live on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app, taking you up till 7 p.m. Then we hand off to the Saints Hour. Mike Haas chatting with Saints GM Mickey Loomis, also voice of the Pelicans, Joel Myers. Before that, we're going to bring in Joe Bartel, fantasy football expert at RotoWire. Joe, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. How about you guys?
I'm doing good, Joe. So I committed one of the cardinal sins of fantasy football this weekend, and I accidentally started two inactive players. I forgot there was a London game. The game started. All of a sudden, Puka Nacua is not in there, and I just completely spaced on it. I ended up facing the second highest scoring team in the league this week. Now, the thing is, I also started Bo Nix and Jahmyr Gibbs, and despite having two inactive players, I still won that matchup, and the question I have for you is, should I forfeit and give that guy the win because I was so inept as a fantasy manager? Do I just chalk this up as I've banked enough karma over my many years of bad beats that this is just my reward?
No, I think it's the other way. You're such a great fantasy manager that you drafted a team that could still win despite having Puka Nacua. No, you pat yourself on the back on that one, for sure. You are not the only person to do that. You will not be the last person to do that either. That's a complication of the London games. I think also, frankly, a complication of the dual Monday Night Football games as well, too, that there's difficult roster construction things, and sometimes we have lives. It slips through. It's all right.
You know, kind of building off of Jeff's question there, I guess, it was kind of a comment, right, with Bo Nix. Is it legit? Is that fourth quarter performance? I read that Elias Sports had this stat that he's the first player in NFL history to score 2+ rushing and 2+ passing touchdowns in one quarter. That unbelievable game, that comeback against the Giants. Is that something to kind of build on, or do you kind of see it maybe more as a mirage in that the first three quarters, which we've seen more of from really Bo Nix this season, he hasn't been very good. You know, what kind of Bo Nix? Is it Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type of situation here?
Yeah, I think you kind of illustrated it perfectly. I think Bo Nix has been awful this year. He was on the fringe of a top 10 quarterback play. He was in that same ADP range as Patrick Mahomes and Baker Mayfield, and those were laughably wrong calls relative to those two. I mean, if you have Bo Nix over either one, you're very frustrated. if you had Bo Nix over Dak Prescott, who was also in that same range, you're probably pretty annoyed too, outside of the fourth quarter, notwithstanding with this. And frankly, I think two of Bo Nix's best throws were literally players that he wasn't trying to target. Like that play that ends up the play right before the game-winning field goal, Cortland Sutton on that last catch, puts it on field goal range. That was meant to be for Cortland Sutton, and Troy Franklin catches it. And then there's another play earlier where Bo Nix completely misses his target. He has been awful. I think Sean Payton, maybe I shouldn't be saying this here on this station, but I have not been a huge Sean Payton guy over the years, and I think his play calling has been atrocious too. He acts like Bo Nix is not a good quarterback. So if the head coach, who I have a lot of respect in, Sean Payton, thinks his quarterback stinks, I know what he says in the media. The way he calls plays tells me he stinks, and I have to believe that Bo Nix is not a very good quarterback either.
Yeah, well, I'll take it in fantasy, though. I mean, you call it what you want in the actual game. As long as he's putting up fantasy stats, I think it wins for this conversation. You know, and I guess so, you look around, who are the players that, as you kind of survey rosters, who are the players that you're trying to trade for right now? Like, who are the players that maybe people have been frustrated with? I was able to trade for A.J. Brown before last week. I traded Cam Scadabo for A.J. Brown straight up, and that would have never worked week one, but it worked in week six. So, like, who are the players that you're trying to buy low on right now that you think could be kind of league winners if you're able to pick them up and they bounce back or they find that kind of winning formula for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know if A.J. Brown's a league winner, but like that's the perfect value of what you're supposed to do at that point of the season. And that point being 2 weeks ago, it sounds weird to be like, oh, yeah, it's a lifetime ago. But really, we're entering a period now with six teams on bye this week, four teams on bye the following, four teams on bye after that. So 14 teams over the next 3 weeks. If it does not impact you bye week-wise this week, it certainly will over the next two. And I think there's opportunity to buy in certain situations. For example, Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jackson Smith and Jigba are both on bye this week. If a team, let's just say, is, 2-5 or 3-4 in that range and they have multiple people on bye, could you, as a fantasy manager who's been planning accordingly for this, send three or four pieces? It can't be all here's waiver wire bench guys. There has to be like a Chris Olave or DK Metcalf and then something. But can you send three or four pieces to get these elite players? I mean, we talked about Puka Nacua last week, for example. He was out due to injury. Of course, the Rams are on bye this week. But there's bye windows for that. And if it's not buying low, I also don't mind buying players on like other injury concerns. So Amarin Hampton's probably my best example for this too. I think Kamani Vidal's been fine. Theoretically, we're halfway through whatever this window is that Hampton will be back. There is a bye week in there as well. If Hampton is to return and there really isn't any addition the Chargers make to that backfield, we're talking about a guy come the fantasy playoffs that I think will be very easily in that running back one range. And again, much like somebody who can't wait for JSN or St. Brown to get back from bye, maybe you can offer not even a buy low for Hampton, but the appropriate, maybe like 80% value of him, and get a guy that you feel comfortable rest of season when he comes back healthy will be in your lineup every week.
The Cowboys passing attack, Joe, I wanted to ask you about, you know, specifically George Pickens was awesome in the absence of C.D. Lamb, where he kind of got elevated to that wide receiver one role, had multiple 30-point performances in PPR leagues. And then, you know, C.D. comes back from the injury that he suffered against Chicago this past week, and he has an awesome game against the Commanders, going for 5 receptions, 110 yards, and that touchdown. That's big splash, 74-yard play as well. Dak Prescott, a QB4 right now in standard leagues. You know, my question for you is Pickens, because even with the return of Lamb, it felt like Pickens was still heavily involved in that passing attack, and it becomes almost the two-headed monster where Pickens still gets great production. He finished that game with 4 catches, 82 yards. And so even though CD is back, Pickens should still be an auto start for a lot of teams that have him, right?
He's definitely an auto start, but whereas Pickens was wide receiver one on fantasy teams during that stretch where Lamb was out, I do think he kind of moves down to wide receiver two territory, and you kind of alluded to it. There's a very small funnel offensively in Dallas, and it's CeeDee Lamb first, then Pickens, and then Javonte Williams or Jake Ferguson, and maybe if Ryan Fournier ends up getting a bit more work, whatever, but that's fine. It really is a three-target race in that Dallas offense. It's important because the Dallas defense is not very good. Now, I know they did okay against the Commanders, that's fine, but you know, the rest of the season, I think we can safely assume the Cowboys are bottom third defense in the NFL. That means that Dak Prescott has to pass the ball plenty. So even if I can acknowledge that George Pickens with CeeDee Lamb now back healthy, it is going to be more of a default second option for that offense, it doesn't matter because we talk about stacking offenses all the time during the offseason. Jacksonville was a popular stack, which obviously looks silly in hindsight. Dallas is one of those that if I can get the three pieces of that offense, Jake Ferguson, Javonte Williams, and CeeDee Lamb, George Pickens, you're in a good spot because no matter what, you're thinking there's going to be points scored on Dallas' side and against Dallas as well, too.
All right, Joe, my last question is, are you a streamer guy? Do you prefer to have kind of a, hey, I really like this kicker, so I'm going to keep him all year. I really like this tight end, so I'm going to keep him all year. Are you someone who's constantly adding players at the last second? Because I don't know, I always find myself in the scenario where the tight end on the waiver wire always feels like a better bet than the tight end on my roster. Same thing with the kicker. Like, where do you land on those positions?
I'm not sure I can be a fantasy analyst if I say I don't like streaming. Yeah. I feel like that's kind of part of our calling card. No, I mean, I have a friend that we have this debate often with, Brandon Aubrey, and I think that's a very good example for this conversation. If you took Brandon Aubrey, obviously you're talking about kicker 2, 3, somewhere in that range, maybe in kicker 1 right now. That was like a 7th or 8th round pick. That could have been Cam Scataboo. That could have been Emeka Buka, maybe in certain leagues as well, too. Like, there's a lot of value for positional part of it, but some people like to have that comfort and safety. The other issue that I have when I'm taking a kicker or defense high, the tight end part's a little bit different in this question,
sure,
is that when the bye weeks come around, I feel obligated that I can't drop that person or that kicker or defense, and therefore I have to hold them. And I don't like to roster 2 kickers or defenses unless in certain circumstances where it's a lot deeper. So especially when it comes to kicker and defense, I like to stream those. Quarterback and tight ends different. I have been of the opinion this year that I liked a lot of that bottom group, like Tucker Kraft of the world, Tyler Warren. Unfortunately, I also like T.J. Hockenson and Evan Engram, and I'm in your spot right now where I have been waffling between Harold Fannin and Mason Taylor, and this week I at least played Aronde Gadsden in a lot of places. He's the top waiver pickup now for a reason. You can strike gold on that, but often you're just trying to see who can score a touchdown. That's why Hunter Henry and Zach Ertz are both in the top 10 tight end conversation as well, too. Kicker is a little bit hard. I'm sorry, quarterback's a little bit harder to stream as well, and especially with teams on bye, it's very frustrating with the injuries we've seen at the top of the quarterback position. A lot of other people are joining the fray, and that's one of the values of having the elite quarterbacks, is you don't have to be in this mix. So especially for kickers and defenses, I do stream those pretty much typically every league I'm in.
Yeah, worst case scenario, you just start an old guy. They seem to be doing pretty good. but all right, Joe Bartel, fantasy football expert at RotoWire. Follow him on X at JB Fantasy Sports, also at RotoWire. Thanks so much as always. Great insight. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, thanks, guys, for having me on. See you later.
All right, Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long, we're taking you up till 7 p.m. Then handing off to the Saints Hour, Mike Cost chatting with Mickey Loomis. Don't miss it. Keep it locked on WWL.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
and
it.
You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Getting down towards the end on Sports Talk, Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long taking up till 7 p.m. Then he'll be handing off to Mickey Loomis, to the Saints Hour. Mike Haas interviewing Mickey Loomis and voice of the Pelicans, Joel Myers. And don't miss out tomorrow on Sports Talk with Bobby Hebert, Mike D'Attilier, and Steve Geller. The Cajun Cannon goes quarterback to quarterback with Drew Brees at 4:35. I don't know if y'all have been listening, but it's been great content. Really, it's always insightful, and Drew just has so much to share, and it does feel like he's willing to give us a little bit more intel than he did back in his player days. And maybe that's just me imagining things, but hey, you got to listen to it. What immediate adjustments can the 1-6 Saints make to improve this season? Can they pull some wins out of this? How do they match up against Baker Mayfield and the Bucks on Sunday? It's an afternoon game. Haven't had many of those. Then at 5:20, get this weekend's best bets in college and NFL action from Odyssey betting insider Brad Evans. And at 6:30, pre-game coverage for the Pelicans season opener at the Memphis Grizzlies right here on WWL. Tip-off at 7 p.m. Tune in, 870 a.m. FM 105.3. Got another quick break, then we're going to close things out here on Sports Talk. Stick around. Closing things out here on WWL. A bit of news we didn't get to earlier. The Saints have officially reverted Eric McCoy and Kendre Miller to injured reserve with their injuries. Eric has a torn biceps. Kendre Miller has a torn ACL. They signed Velus Jones Jr. from the practice squad to the 53-man roster and signed running back Audric Estime, formerly of the Broncos, spent time with the Eagles on the practice squad last year, so he's familiar with Kellen Moore. Also, got 40 seconds to answer this question. 0732, guys, who gets more wins the rest of the season, Saints or LSU football? As scary as it is, the Saints still have, what, 10 games left? LSU only has 5 games plus a bowl game. I'm going LSU. They got Western Kentucky. They're winning that game. They got Arkansas. They're winning that game. And the other three, Texas A&M, Alabama, Oklahoma, they're taking one of those games, and they're winning the bowl game. Saints, I have them beating the Jets, I have them beating the Dolphins, and I have them beating the Bucks this week. But that's it.
So is that a tie?
No, the LSU gets the win with the bowl game. They got 4.
Okay, there you go.
Yep, that's the answer. But all right, who dat? Go Saints. Hope they win more than 3. I'm Jeff Nowak. Charlie Long handing off to the Saints Hour with Mike Haas. Let's do it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Whoa, boss, how did that happen?
Mind your business.
I mean, how did a forklift make a shish kebab out of our company truck?
I said, mind your business, Billy. It's why we have auto owners. We work with an independent agent to customize our policies. So when the unexpected happens, we know we're covered. Because unlike you, minding our business is their business.
Oh, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
You didn't do this, did you, boss?
Mind your business, Billy.